Bill on the seminar, and welcome to all of our beautiful watching on the streaming service, and also for those listening on the telephone network. So that is our larger audience, and we want to welcome them to our proceedings here. Thank you for joining us, and we hope the session is good. So we got some of our favorite people assembled together today, and I have my beautiful wife with me, which is always pleasant to travel. I don't like traveling alone and come to bathe every morning. I just like to have that comfort. And also we've got our son Lucas, grandson. Lucas, why don't you stand up right there? Would you like to say a few words? And Lucas went out last night with Michelle Cadilla and his son Daniel to see the bats. I guess they got about 3 million of them kind of swooping out from under bridges. So 4 million out to be today. It goes up. Unfortunately, the bats were maybe pregnant, I guess. And so they were a little slow in moving. And so it was kind of dark when they all came out. But thanks to that, you know, good look at the bats. But I think years ago, went out to see them, and they came out, and it was quite, you know, dark in the sky. That's amazing. So, well, did you have a good night last night? Good night, sleep?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Some of you. Well, Sean Finnegan is playing with his wife who is talking to him on the phone. And we went over to the Durant's house last night for a soiree, and they gave us too much food. And then afterwards, they had some nice strong coffee. What was the reason for that coffee? But it was good. It was good for him. And of course, these Texans always like things. They're big into the meat, and of course, the top two. You know, so they know meat's best when it's very rare, kind of bloody, huh? So he was asking the folks there, "How do you like your meat?" Well, they had a couple of northern idiots here, so they like it well done, you know. So they screw up the nose at that idea. But local Texans, they wanted theirs, you know, not just pink, they wanted red, kind of driven. And finally, they got to Texas, in Texas now, he likes to show off a little more monster than most Texans. So they asked him how he wanted this steak. So he said, "Honey, grab it by the horns, wipe it through your end, and honey." That's how rare he was. It was a good deal. Got back to the place and got a good night's rest. So, well, let's begin our proceedings today by asking the blessing of the mighty one to whom these seminars are devoted, the great one, His Majesty, Lord of all, the Honorable King of the Universe. Join me in your prayer. Loving Father, you are a dear Father. You've made us the apple of your eye, made us into your image, and are now handworking us and developing our character to become like you. A character of love or of kindness and justice and truth. We know what plans you have for this earth and your family, and we want to be a part of that. And we want to glorify you and let the world know how wonderful that you are and your plan is. And we know at your side is our leader, who has already taken on your very nature and is actively working to bring about the kingdom of God, your kingdom, to this earth. Help us, Father, to have a part in that, to glorify you in all our words and as we set our hearts on the study about you. So learn about you, to think of you as Jesus thought of you. We ask for inspiration of everyone participating. Thank you for bringing us here together safely. And we ask that we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my dear friend Anthony Buzzard is here. He's one of the pioneer founders of the One God movement, biblical monotheism, Christian monotheism, however you want to express it. And I admire his courage. That's taking courage. And I, of course, knew Anthony and laid eyes on him, I think, before anybody else in the room. Anybody know Anthony before 1960? Okay, well, there we go. There we go. And I have a great deal of respect for him. And he's going to say a few words on their opening question, why study the nature of God? So I think it's up to
you. Very kind. I do have a huge advantage of being over 75. I don't have to take my shoes off at the airport. Belt, yes, that has to come off. Isn't that progress in the matter? They just opened a new domestic place to buy. If you're 77, and it's not 77, then you can go through with your shoes on. It's the advantage of getting it. Anyway, getting old also can get very simple and very senile. So if anything I say seems to be naive, then drop that to my ear. So Ken is invited me to say a couple of things. What are we doing this exercise for? I'm sure you'll have different reasons for that. My own concept is very easy. I think that John 17:3 says, if you, Father, are monos agnostios, I'm using the modern Greek pronunciation for everybody out there, doesn't take my Greek. That's the way the Greeks say it today. On monastery, John 17:3, you're the only one who is the true God. I think that's very easy. And Jesus also said, this is eternal life. I take it that means this is the whole point. This is one of the core concepts. This is eternal life. Like Whitney Houston's voice was Whitney. Whitney was her voice. Toy is her us. God is love. The essence of God is love. So the essence of eternal life, life in the age to come. I'm currently translating the New Testament. It really isn't very hard if you've worked at it all these years. I certainly have the life of the age to come. So that's eternal life, to know that God is one. That seems easy. Then there is a little text in Hebrews 5:9, which says that salvation comes to those who obey Jesus in the New Covenant. So that's rather easy as a concept. I think we're trying to equip the saints for ministry, that text. And I think in some sense we're all trying to equip each other for ministry and for the faith. And presumably the Great Commission comes in here somewhere. We're all involved in the Great Commission to spread the faith as best we can. We're supposed to live by every word of God, not just the bits we like. And finally then, isn't there this thing about unity? We have 30,000 denominations now. So what Ken's put on for us here in our various One God conference is that thing. You attempt to bring us together from all the wacko, sometimes the wacko acronym we came out of, to see if we couldn't achieve something by way of simple unity. So those are my 6 points. Will that be enough?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, one book you should be aware of. Marion Hiller, our atheist friend at Kenya, has written $100 worth of book here. Of expensive, but this is interesting, from Logos to Timothy. How you get from the Platonic Greek philosophical Logos to the Trinity of the Orthodox Churches. It's a fascinating study.
Well, you have your agenda before you. We'll review a couple items on our agenda today. Our first presentation is going to be by Owen Murphy from Eastern British Columbia. And then Sir Anthony Buzzard will be back up here for made the presentation. The Trinitarianism qualified as monotheism. I'll go by asking the right questions. Then we'll have a lunch break. We won't be able to get too far away. It's only an hour and 15-minute break. It's a cafe here, and there are a couple of restaurants just right around the corner, so it should be able to find something that you like. And then in the afternoon, Dan Gerard is going to be speaking on the history of Christology, which is fascinating. And it was a big subject for a couple of centuries in the church. And inside of the review of bad behavior, let's put it that way. And taking off from that will be Sean's presentation later, the Trinitarian controversy of the 4th century. But before that, we're going to find out about our dear friend John Calvin and Michael Servetus, who was burned at stake by the founder of the Presbyterian Church. And so that's quite a fascinating story, and we're looking forward to Carlos and Lennon's presentation of that. So that's what's on the docket today. One of our presenters who is going to be here today had a parishioner dying, and so he's got a funeral service to handle today, but he's going to be here tomorrow speaking with Gary Woodring, and he'll be coming on down then. And we have some other speakers lined up that will be showing up. Dr. Phil Arnold, tomorrow afternoon, to find something interesting. They are interesting people, and I'll give you a little of the backstory or some of which maybe hasn't been heard. I think we'll turn to the opening page, but drawing attention to page number 4 of the Nathaniel One God Seminar. Why we do these things. At the end of the first paragraph, I write, we will never arrive at a complete understanding, that is, a complete understanding of God. I mean, how can we fully know and examine and understand everything about God? But could there be a more global use of our time and our energy and our material in the pursuit of knowing God? Now, people pursue a lot of things, don't they? They're animated by all sorts of pursuits of energies and everything else. Wiseman once wrote, he said, things which must never, which are the most important, should never be at the mercy of things that matter least. The things that are most important should never be at the mercy of things that matter least. And so much of life, well, we're involved in things that don't matter a lot, you know. And, you know, when you're meeting the Creator face-to-face, what's he going to ask you? You know, how much money you earned during your life? Have you ever got a Porsche in your life? How many degrees did you have? You know, well, nobody's going to wonder. What he wants to know is if you know him and if you're like him. And those are the opposite questions. People have wondered, why do we do these seminars? Why are we in this sort of non-traditional, challenging the Trinity, causing a great deal of trouble for ourselves, bringing people to label us as heretics, and sometimes, put the cross up before us like this. Now, stay away, Why? Well, I think there's a simple reason, not because they're better, smarter, or braver than the next guy. It's just that somehow the truth of God has captured our minds. And we cannot turn our backs on it, can we? And if God is God, and this is the way he is, and it's most important for the knowledge of God to eventually fill the earth, well, somewhere I want to be in that process. I want to be involved. Sharing the truth about a wonderful God and his goodness and his kindness and his justice. And so we do that. But in order to know what God is like, we have to learn a little bit about Him. And the mantra I say to myself every day, to know God is to love Him. And to love Him is to want to become like Him. Mind, character, and spirit. And you can't become like God until you know what God is like. Is He one? Is He two? Is He three? Is He some sort of amorphous fog floating around? Is He in everything? You know, the picture of water and John's pouring up here, that's a chunk of God. You know, God's here, God. You've heard all the stories. There's a book that was published a while back entitled Water the Bamboo. Have you ever read the book? It wasn't a bestseller. But anyway, it's the story of the giant timber bamboo. And it grows 90 feet in 60 days. And here's the big timber bamboo that we use for the trucking buildings and everything else. It's extremely strong, very valuable. Can you imagine growing a foot and a half a day? People sit there and they can actually kind of watch it grow. Amazing thing, giant bamboo. But the story about it is that it sits in the ground 3 to 4 years before it even breaks the earth. You plant the seed, it's down there, you don't see it. It's got to be watered. It's got to be tended and all. But it's not until 3 or 4 years it bursts to the surface. And then it grows. Well, Jesus had some other examples, you know, the mustard seed and the rest. And it's the kind of planting seeds, planting truth. I kind of like the One God seminar, the One God movement that many of us are involved in. Yes, but this matter of watering the bamboo. But the bamboo farmers have done since it's a long wait before they get a crop. They plant other crops on top of that. You know, they plant beans and other things on that. And they, and the tending of those other crops and the water to make sure that, you know, that crop grows. So it's not the only thing. And the One God is not the only truth that needs to be proclaimed, but it's certainly an important one. And putting down that seed and seeing that it's watered, soon it will burst forth. And the power's there. And when God causes people to wake up and understand Him, which He can do, I like that what we're doing is part of that watering of the bamboo that is going to grow immensely. The whole world is going to see that it's growing. So I'm really thrilled to have a part in it. To that, we dedicate our lives. Well, we have part of the literature of the back table there that you are certainly free to take. And also, Richard Carline, who's the editor of the journal and on-site reporter from the New York Times and Washington Post and whatever else, has a man for our seminar here, and so we want to take a look at this paper. And that's his right back on the literature table to help him out with that. Well, let's begin with our first presentation today. And Owen Murphy is an experienced pastor of about 30 years pastoral work. He's retired after 30 years, but he's retired. But you feel like he's retired anymore. And he lives up in eastern British Columbia, which is up in the hills and mountains, ski resorts around Nelson. Where we were mentioning last night the largest cash crop there is marijuana. And some people misheard me apparently at the table thinking that you were part of the growing operation of the marijuana, and that's not the truth, right, Kim? He's not involved in that. He you know, oh, okay. But he drove out of there and talked plenty about it for 3 hours here last night. So for our first presentation, I'm happy to present my dear friend, Owen Murphy, speaking on Our Father.